Luke 1, verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. We're studying the word reign. Basileu means the absolute exercise of the highest influence and control over everything. Yesterday we looked at the scriptures about reigning in Revelation. Now we're going to go to Romans, Romans 5. Starting verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I remember before I got kicked out of catechism class, I remember that original sin in that catechism class in that Lutheran country church was sex. And I said, I can remember asking the question. I said, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, original sin was sex? And I didn't know anything about sex, but I just, something intuitively, that was just, seemed like total crap. Did anybody else learn that?
Sure. I thought if you're for the multiply, you're supposed to do a lot of multiplication problems.
Nice. Tom, just stir your oatmeal.
Yeah, stir my oatmeal.
But the point that all have sinned, it wasn't that because our parents had sin, had sex, that we were born, which was what the implication was. The original sin is the fall. And it altered the genetic structure of the human race from that time forward. It altered how our minds work. It split our minds so we have the illusion of consciousness and the illusion of control over an extremely small portion of our body. But sin, by one man, sin entered into the world. Before the fall, Adam and Eve were only conscious of others and God and the world. They had no consciousness of themselves. The minute he named the names, then the potential for the fall happened. Once the fall happened, then, you know, the grand question, who told you you were naked? Who told you this? Who gave you this capacity to have consciousness of self? This is why Jesus said, except you be born again and become as that little child, that darling infant, that technon, before self-awareness, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's why all the scriptures are about take no thought. And that's all we do, is take thought. And it's so endemic to our nature that we can't possibly think that there is a way to take no thought. So we ignore the scriptures to our death. The scriptures that say, take no thought, the modern translations say, don't be nervous about or anxious about something. That's not what it says. Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. That's why I've challenged you from day one. I challenge you to have a thought that can conflict with it is finished. I mean, that doesn't conflict with it is finished. That doesn't conflict with as you've been perfected forever. That doesn't conflict with you have no need. By one man, sin entered into the world. And so, and what just drives me crazy is that religion has sanctified sin. They are now sanctifying greed. Does anybody have any response to any of this?
This is the reason for the preaching of the cross. If you hold on to any of your thoughts and self, worship them. Think they're great.
Well, you don't have to think they're great. Worship means give breath to. Whether it's positive or negative, give breath to. I had about an hour and a half little chat yesterday with one of our members that lives elsewhere about this very issue, because his persona always talks about how bad he used to be. How bad he used to be, died. How good he used to be, died.
Well, you were reading that thing about God pulling down strongholds?
I wasn't reading it.
Okay. I think it's in the book. It's in the book, though.
I know.
But it's like the pulling down of strongholds takes place when you have emptied yourself. It's not what man wants. I know what I want is salvation with my own, and get to keep everything too. You know, saved, but I get to keep all my stuff. And that's just wrong thinking. But that's brain stuff.
Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. This is what it means to have, and at the ancient times, to be bar mitzvahed. It means that you then become a son of the law. What happened previous to that was not sin, because there was no law. Amen? Now, never is the woman responsible. That's why there never in ancient times was a Beth Mitzvah. But now in modern Judaism, there is. She wasn't responsible for it anyway.
Responsible for what?
The law. There wasn't one due law that applied to women. Now, anyway, that's another story. Nevertheless, death reigned. Death was in control of everything from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one, you understand? Death reigned, just as sin reigned. It was in control of the entire universe. Death reigned. Sin reigned. There was nothing you could do about it. No philosophy. You couldn't think your way out of sin. And you couldn't do anything to get out of death. So sin reigned, death reigned. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. Notice how many times the contrast here. Death and sin reign. Now, grace and righteousness reign. But unless you know that, it means nothing. Because you'll continue trying to work out your own stuff. Just like you do on the job, Gary. And all the rest of us. But that's the reason I said that. You mentioned it yesterday.
Yeah. This makes me think of our conversations about outside of time. This is back in Moses' day, right? What you're reading.
Huh?
This is back where you're reading.
No, it's right now.
Death doesn't reign now.
Of course it does. As long as you dwell on earth, death reigns and sin reigns, no matter what you call it. Your dwelling, the only place where death isn't reigning is in eternity. But death reigned in time and space because you died. Therefore, you have no reference, your life has no reference to time and space. Well, you can call yourself in him till hell freezes over, but as long as your dwelling place is on earth and your value systems is the world system, then your death is still reigning. He's only Messiah reigning now outside of time and space. Even death and all the other stuff is over. He's over it, but it doesn't do you any good. He'll use what you do, but he won't use you, as long as you dwell in time and space. And you dwell there by how you make a reference in your mind. Our home is on the mercy seat in eternity. Remember, this book is not I'll tell you again, it's not a history book, it's not a religious book, it's not a moral book, it's not a science book. It's a book about two separate abodes, if you will. One is time and space, one's eternity. If you look all about the scriptures about what has accomplished in us and how we are seen, then it's all in the past tense. Because we have, let's go to Romans 8. We're going to leave this a minute. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now watch how all of these are in the past tense. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. All past tense. The only issue is that by the renewing of your mind that you would see that and you would confess the same thing that he confessed. There's nothing left to do. There's nothing left to think.
You will confess it when you see it.
When you have to hear it, what you hear, if your ears are circumcised, what you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. What you touch, you have dominion over. What you eat is what gives you sustenance. What you drink is what gives you worth. And it's all in him. That's why that what we talked about with the afkumen or communion last Sunday night was so incredibly important. Yeah. All right, back to Romans 5. We didn't get very far, did we? Verse 17 again. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came on all men, upon all men, to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's only two basilios, really. It's sin, but it causes death. So it's death is reigning still over all of time and space. But grace reigns in eternity. Amen?
Amen.
So where's your seat? In your cell phone. All right. Let's go to one more. Let's go to six. Well, we're at six is the next verse. What, Tom?
Oh, I was thinking about death, and I was thinking that time is the realm of cause and effect, and death is the ultimate effect. So, you know, you can, if you're stuck with logic, you can work it out that way. You can understand without any shadow of doubt that death reigns as long as there's time.
Yeah, that's why, come now, let us reason together. The highest that reason can take you is that your sin is as white as snow. Your sin is total. And that's why this whole idea about the reason that scripture is there is because it's a reference, direct reference to leprosy. Leprosy in the Bible was never healed. A man who was leprous, once the leprosy covered his entire body, then he was clean. But if you only had leprosy of the forehead, remember, you were forever alone. And the leprosy of the forehead, it's a symbolism for how you think. And if you think, if your thinking is in the realm of time and space, then you're forever alone. You can't even be with other lepers. You can be around people, but in terms of internally, you're in that terrible, terrible aloneness. Because you have leprosy of the forehead. You can't even be with other lepers.
Yeah, that's one of those things. It's not, it may be mirrored in the law and in the way things were done, but that's an internal thing that, you know, if you have that leprosy of the forehead, you can never really make sense to anybody else because you can never find somebody who's got the exact same leprosy.
All right. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I'm just going to continue doing this, and then when God wants me to stop it, I'll stop. Anybody ever heard that before in their mind? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That's what baptism is. It's burial. There's a whole lot of people. No, never mind. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in this newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. It's not that we're going to be resurrected. It's that he is resurrected in us because we died on the cross. We are were resurrected in him at the same time. The only issue is whether you recognize and accept your death. To know that there has been this being masquerading as you for your entire life. And his name is the instead of Christ, the evil one. And until that penetrates, you'll continue in your little play acting. What?
It's not nothing, just thinking about it.
Knowing this, in verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Let not sin therefore reign. And I promise you, let not Gary therefore reign. Let not Tom therefore reign. Let not Anthony therefore reign, etc., etc. Oh, but I'm just trying to do the best I can. I find then a law. When I want to do good, Helen, the evil one is present with me.
Also there when I want to be bad too.
Well, that's given. That's why faith is the only way out. Faith isn't a noun. That's enough about this today. Faith is not a noun. Like, what is your faith? Faith is a verb.
I thought of it as a noun that's in the person of Christ. Different ways of looking at it.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And thy life I now live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Therefore, it's a noun, but it's not a noun in action. It's a noun in defining.
A noun in what?
Defining. But he lives, so it's a verb. But when you fill out an application or something, it says, what is your faith? What does that mean? Well, it means whether you're a Jew or a Christian or Muslim. But that has no meaning at all. All right, anybody have any thoughts, expansions, arguments? Take a big breath.